Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, we're broadcasting this week from the rebuttal department here at Car Talk Plaza. So are you the butt or the rebut?
I'm neither one.
I would dispute that, but go ahead.
An author named Jennifer Berman is the rebutter.
Uh-huh.
You may remember a couple of weeks ago, we shared a list of reasons why some men have dogs instead of wives.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Like a dog never wakes you up in the middle of the night and asks, if I died, would you get another dog?
That's it. Well, turns out there's an entire book called Why Dogs Are Better Than Men.
Oh, so this is the rebuttal.
This is it. And here are some of the reasons why women prefer dogs to men.
Okay, go ahead.
You want some?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Dogs miss you when you're gone.
Of course.
Dogs don't brag about whom they have slept with.
Maybe not to you. Maybe to other dogs, though.
Dogs think you are a culinary genius.
Oh, that's true. You cook the dog, you give the dog the same food every day, and they love it, right?
They
oh,
love
boy.
It. Dogs are happy with any DVD that you choose to rent because they know the most important thing is that you are together.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting? Dogs don't mind if you do all the driving.
No, in fact, they prefer it, don't they?
And dogs mean it. When they kiss you.
Yes, they do. I mean, it can be a little sloppy, but they do mean it. Anyway, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Janet, and I'm calling from Indiana.
Hi, yeah. Janet. Do you have a dog?
No, I have two cats.
Oh, and do you feel the same way about your cats that people feel about their dogs? And do you feel loyalty, love, affection?
I mean, I love my kitties, but I think I love my husband more.
What?
All right. Well,
I was just shocked.
Enough said. So what's up, Janet?
Okay. Well, I have an 01 Volvo XC70, and I absolutely love it. It has about 74,000 miles on it. But the issue I'm having, I can only describe as automotive flatulence.
Oh.
Yes. After driving it for 10 to 15 minutes, the brake pedal makes a tooting noise when it's compressed or released. And this is very entertaining for my 11 and 7-year-old daughters, but it's embarrassing when I have company in the car with me. I have to say, that wasn't me, that was my car. And I'm also worried, is it dangerous, how much it'll cost to repair it?
Well, that's the danger, the cost.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, is it a source of entertainment for the entire family?
It really is.
Because yeah,
you can leave it.
I think I'm the only person I know who owns a car that toots, so.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's tooting because the vacuum brake booster is failing.
Okay.
The booster operates on engine vacuum, and it uses the force created by the fact that the pistons are moving up and down, mostly down, and sucking in air to combust the gasoline. They're using mm-hmm. that suction to create a force that multiplies the force that you apply to the brake pedal, and
okay.
hence power brakes were born. When they made this discovery that they could use this vacuum to do this. But when that diaphragm that gets moved by this vacuum the engine creates begins to fail, it will, you know, it's tantamount to if you took a piece of tissue paper and put it across a rubber comb and blew through it, you'd get that same kind of...
That's good noise.
Because oh, that, I wasn't the noise yet. That was Tommy.
Okay. Oh,
but I'm about to do the noise. So you get this kind of noise, and it's because that rubber diaphragm is kind of flapping when it shouldn't be because air is going past it.
Is this dangerous?
Yeah, well,
you're not going to have power brakes anymore.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, you will have power brakes, but...
But they won't be as powerful.
It only happens when you step on the brake, though, huh?
Right, mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's too bad. I mean, there is a very, very small chance that the connection, the vacuum connection at the booster could be faulty. You should have somebody check that. But I'm 99% sure you're going to need the booster, and it's several hundred dollars.
Like how many several hundred dollars?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Oh.
It's mostly
not $1,000.
Mostly out of concern for your mental well-being.
But you're gonna fix it.
Yeah, it's I don't know off the top of my head, but it could easily be $500.
Oh, that's not bad.
But you won't have any. You'll have to find something else to entertain the kids. But
well, thank you. We'll find something else.
Whoopee cushions are only $5, and they'll have a lot more fun with them. See you, Janet.
Might have to invest in those. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. You ever notice when you say to a Volvo owner, oh, it's going to be $1,000, they say, oh, only
$1,000?
All?
You say that to a Fiat Spider owner?
Oh.
They're ready to
die. You get the smelling salts out. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, boys. This is Jeff calling from Salem, Massachusetts.
Hey, Jeff. Is that with a G-E-O-F-F?
It sure is. How did you know?
I don't know. Just a lucky guess.
Salem. You know, I was in Salem just yesterday.
Oh, really?
What are the chances of that?
Too bad you didn't stay there. So, what's going on, Jeff?
Well, we've got a 2005 Toyota Matrix. And, of course, driving in and out of Salem and around Boston, go figure, we got a ding in the windshield that grew into a crack.
Uh-huh, sure.
I took that car into an auto glass place that was recommended to me by my insurance company. They put in a new windshield. Once I got the guy to get all the black gunk off all the car, I mean, he got the glue everywhere, we get back in the car, and the plastic of the dashboard rattles against the glass. The windshield wipers do not line up. They don't go up to vertical, and when they come down, they rub against one another. And according to my wife, at high speeds, we get actually the sound of wind coming through there.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that my windshield has not been replaced correctly.
Oh, bingo. Really?
Boy, that's...
Well, you're quick.
Deductive reasoning. Well, and I went back to the guy and said, you know, this doesn't seem to be right. I'm getting this rattling. He took a piece of that dried glue off the floor and stuck it in the crack and said, there you go. The reason it doesn't fit right is that it's not a Toyota windshield. Their windshields are going to fit a little differently than how the Toyota windshields fit, and I think that's kind of a crock. So
now, who recommended this guy to you again?
This was from our insurance company. We called to say, you know, what do we do? And in Massachusetts, you have they automatically have to just replace it.
Oh, so they sent you to Wally the Windshield King.
Exactly.
But you were under no obligation to go to him.
I can go to anyone.
You could have gone to your Toyota dealer. You know, there's no guarantee if you take it to the dealer that they're going to do it, but they'll probably use a factory windshield.
Right.
So I tell you, there are lots of aftermarket windshields installed, and I think most of the fault is with him and not the glass.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if they were cut to fit in there or they're ordered like that because it obviously is not the right windshield for that.
No. He didn't do anything to the glass. The glass comes. He doesn't have to shave it down or alter the glass in any way.
That just goes right in.
But he did have the obligation to remove the old adhesive and put the new glue in there and set the window in. And
put the new glue all over the car.
All over the seats.
God.
Exactly. And, so I wouldn't go back to him.
No.
I'd call your insurance company and do everyone else a favor and tell them what a butcher he is
so
that they don't send anyone there anymore.
I was thinking I had to hit my windshield with a ball-peen hammer or something so I could go back in and start this process again.
You may have to do that.
You shouldn't have to do that. If you just call them and tell them what a mess you're in, if they blow you off, then you take out the hammer.
Right. And not that you heard it from us.
No, that's insurance fraud. What? No.
Right.
No.
No. I would call your insurance company and tell them, look, I'm going to take this to the Toyota dealer.
Okay.
And I'm going to just have them do it, and then you straighten it out with them.
Beautiful.
Say, I want it done right, and I wasted a day going to this guy, and he did a lousy job, and there's no reason why you should have to go back to him.
Okay, and I'm thinking it's dangerous. The fact that she hears wind coming through there, that doesn't sound right to me.
Oh, yeah, if wind is coming in, your birds could be flying in there. Anything could happen. Good luck, Jeff.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, wait till it rains.
He hasn't found out.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Kara from Fremont, California.
Kara?
Kara.
C-A-R-A?
P-A-R-A, like Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Oh, Tara.
Oh, Tara.
Yes.
And where'd you say you were from?
Fremont, California.
So what's going on?
Well, I need to remind you of exactly who I am. I spoke to you guys about 8 months ago and was seeking your advice on dating who you ended up naming the van dweller.
Oh, I remember the guy in the van. Yes,
the guy in the van.
Yes. And I'm sure we gave you some fatherly and sage advice.
You did do a very good job of giving some advice on how to break the news to my mom, who just loves him, by the way.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Maybe your mom can start going out with him.
And he was a physician assistant student attending Stanford, and he was living in the parking lot while going to school.
Oh, that's right.
He didn't want to drive all the way to his apartment, which we have now determined didn't exist.
Or
at one time existed but ceased to exist.
Yeah, we kind of suspected that, I believe, at our initial talk.
Yeah, you guys nailed it.
So is he actually studying to be a PA, and is he actually at Stanford?
He's actually done. He graduated in January, and he's now working as a PA at Stanford.
Really?
Yeah.
But you've been seeing him all this time?
You know, we broke up briefly, but I realized that, he was a great person, as you guys said, and I couldn't live without him. So
really?
We got back together, and now we're actually planning a month-long trip in the van.
Whoa.
Across Canada. And
really?
So I'm calling you guys again to get some advice on becoming a van dweller, tolerating the van partner for in excess of a month.
Wow.
So remind me what the van is. I recall that it wasn't particularly new.
It's a 1986 VW Westfalia.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, and I remember now, yeah. And the reason he hadn't driven it from his apartment to school and chose to live in the van in the parking lot was maybe he couldn't make it back and forth to his apartment. And that's why he decided
that
to give up.
That, because we just put a new engine in it, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, the engines go on these things all the time. So he put a rebuilt or a used engine?
It was a rebuilt engine. And, yes, the old one was definitely circling the drain.
So it's just going to be the two of you?
Yes.
And how many miles is this trip going to be? Several thousand.
Several thousand. Our plan is to head up the coast to Vancouver and put the van on a ferry and take it up to Prince Rupert and then drive east across Canada. And then our final destination is New Hampshire.
Well, you know, it's often the case that when they're loading those vehicles onto those ferry boats, one or two of them always fall off into the water. So,
okay.
So I think, you know, if the van fell into the water, oh, so be it.
Okay.
You know, but think of what a great adventure it will be.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I can't wait.
Now, do you both have to be back for any specific thing at any specific time?
Doesn't anyone have a job here?
He's working at Stanford. He has a contract that ends in about 3 weeks.
Oh.
And we will not be coming back.
Oh, no kidding.
So your final destination is New Hampshire.
You got it.
Well, I would strongly encourage this because it will show you the way for a lot of things. Number one, your ability to exist together under adverse conditions. Very adverse, because this thing is going to break down every 185 miles.
Exactly.
I mean, you think putting an engine in it is going to be the end of your misery, but there are so many components that you haven't even heard of that could possibly let you down and leave you broken down. So it'll be something that you will be able to remember and pass on to your grandchildren.
Great.
You won't be married to this guy. You'll be married to someone else. You'll have grandchildren, but they won't be with this guy.
I think before you leave, you should get some kind of a list of mechanics who work on old vehicles.
Okay.
Like yours.
Maybe better than that. Take one with you.
Yeah, the three of you could be in the van.
Yeah, I mean, you should be prepared for this thing croaking at some point along the way.
Oh, yeah.
And it could even be the rebuilt engine that you had put in it. So as long as you don't have a specific time to get anywhere, and as long as you make it to New Hampshire before the frost sets in,
right,
you're good. So you've got the whole summer.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that could do you in that you might not even be thinking about is a moose.
Watch
out for the moose.
Yeah.
Yeah, because especially on these kinds of vehicles that don't have much up front.
Yeah.
Right. You are the hood ornament.
Yeah. So the moose could do a job on you. So pay attention, especially in the early morning hours.
Okay.
I think you ought to keep, if you can certainly access an internet cafe along the way, you ought to keep us posted.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sure our vast audience will derive some perverse pleasure from watching you folks break down someplace. But we hope you don't. And if you do, it'll just add to the adventure.
Great.
I mean, you could buy a brand new car and you could make the trip and you'd see some beautiful things. But the adventure is going to be dodging the moose, avoiding the confrontation with the black bear, et cetera, et cetera. You know, make sure your cell phones are working.
Yeah, my philosophy is just, you know, as long as I get to be the semi-benevolent dictator on how often we can pull over to use a rest stop and climate control, things like that, it should work out fine.
Oh, yeah, climate control. That's going to work out real good for you. Well, good luck, Tara. You sound like a good sport, and we'll find that out as the trip unfolds.
We'll keep you posted.
See you later.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. All right, look, we have to take a short break. We must. And then we'll be back with the answer to last week's series puzzler.
Series? What kind of series?
Well, it was a word series. I gave out five words, and I asked you to tell me the next word in the series.
Were the first five words, my brother is an abject? Because I know the next word, and that's
not it. No, that's not it. But if you stay tuned, I'll tell you what the words were, and I'll give you the answer as well.
Plus, we'll answer more of your car questions, so stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hello, 911, you better bring an assist. I-86 to my baby with a goodbye kiss. He lost his number one girl in the number two lane of the I-95, now he's out in the rain. Better send a truck, pick him up on the southbound where I left him 5 miles short of town, and I'm riding high. Mama didn't raise no fool. Riding high. Adios, doodly-oo, wave bye-bye. Mama didn't raise no fool. Riding high, high.
And even though the FBI decides to start a least wanted list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mm.
And this was submitted by Allison Bodke, and here it is. Very simple, straightforward.
Yeah.
But maybe not so easy. I'm going to give you five words, and you tell me, based on these five words, the next word in the series.
Okay, go ahead. Give me those words again.
Okay. Bugles.
Yeah.
Unrest, grotto,
yeah.
Letter, esteem.
I got it.
Yeah? What's the word?
You're not going to believe this.
No, I'm probably not, but go ahead.
The next word in that series is oatmeal.
You know?
I got it, and you're shocked, aren't you?
Bugles,
unrest, grotto, letter, esteem, oatmeal.
So close. So close. You got one letter right. No, you got a couple of letters right. You'll notice that the word bugles, okay,
yeah,
uses the first letter of each of the words. See? B is the first letter of bugles. The first letter of unrest is U.
Oh,
first
grotto.
Grotto. Letter. There's a missing letter.
And we need an S.
We need an S. So it suggests that the missing word starts with the letter S.
Yeah.
Interestingly, now the word unrest uses the second letters of all the words. So U, N, R from grotto, right?
Yeah.
E from letter, S from esteem, and what then would be the second letter of the last word would be T, right?
Yeah.
And if you continue, it turns out that if you go down, okay, they come to esteem. Esteem is E-S-T-E-E-M, right? So my last word is a five-letter word, and it is storm. Which is the word formed from the last letters of all the other words, S-T-O-R-M. Now, some may argue, as Louis did, that the answer could be storms or stormy. And it could be either one, but my answer, and I'm sticking with it,
is Storm.
Is Storm. Now,
wow!
If you don't like it, do we have a winner?
Yeah, the winner is Steve Weiss from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Atta boy, Steve!
Atta way! And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Steve's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a CarTalk stainless steel water bottle.
You know, I use mine when I go to the gym.
You do?
Yeah, I put a bunch of ice in it, fill it up with water, and then if I see some guy talking on his cell phone on the treadmill, I drop it down the back of his shorts. It's a lot of laughs.
You are a cruel man.
Well, usually the cell phone goes flying and the guy inexplicably starts running faster.
Cruel but funny.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car, we're here for you.
If you have a question about gym etiquette, don't call my brother.
We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anna calling from Carrboro, North Carolina.
Hey, Anna from Carrboro, North Carolina. What's up?
Carrboro?
It's right next to Chapel Hill.
Oh.
So you know Steve Weiss?
I don't know Steve Weiss.
Well, he sounds like a pretty smart guy. You might want to get acquainted with him. Anyway, what's going on?
Well, I'm calling because I have a 96 Jeep Cherokee, and it's a manual car, and it has a squealing problem.
Uh-huh.
It only happens in the summertime or when it's hot outside, and whenever I turn my car on, it immediately starts squealing. I put it in reverse, it's still squealing. I put it in first, second, still squealing. By the time I'm in third, most times it stops. But the problem is I live in a small town, so everyone knows when I'm driving around because they know the squealing by now.
And if you don't stop moving, does the noise also go away?
If I just sit there, usually it's still squealing. Sometimes if I put it in neutral, it goes away.
But it's squealing without moving. You don't have to be moving to get the squealing.
Yes, it's squealing without moving.
Does it come when you step on the clutch by any chance?
No, it's just basically when I have my foot on the gas.
Just when the engine is running?
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a noisy belt.
A noisy belt.
Yeah, yeah. The belts are made out of rubber, and if they're loose or brittle or worn out, a belt can make a lot of noise, especially if it's loose, because it's slipping on the pulleys.
Okay.
And so you need to have the belts looked at. In fact, I'm not 96. This may have just one belt.
Okay.
And that one belt drives everything. And if it's slipping because it's all worn out, do you recall ever replacing this belt?
Not that I remember.
Have you had this vehicle since 1996?
I've had it for, since 2001.
Well, if you haven't replaced a belt since 2001, I'd be pretty confident in saying you're ready.
Okay.
Do you have a mechanic that you go to fix things on this car?
Of course not.
No one regular, but I'm looking around town for one.
I think when your car gets to be a certain state of disrepair,
right,
you're embarrassed or you're ashamed.
Never happens to me.
No, because you take your car to me. and the shame is not in your vocabulary. But I suspect that Anna might. So once you've neglected your car to a certain extent, you're afraid on a couple of fronts. Number one is the embarrassment. But maybe as important is the notion that you're going to go in and find out that it needs $2,000 worth of repairs.
Exactly.
And if they tell you that the stuff is dangerous, you'd be foolish not to fix it.
Right.
But you can drive in complete denial if you
That's what I'm doing.
I could see that. So that when you wake up one morning, it might even be tomorrow morning,
okay,
and the noise is gone, it'll mean that the belt is broken.
Okay.
Okay, but so don't take that as a signal that all is well.
Okay.
Good luck, Anna.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, I really do think that shame and fear are the two biggest deterrents, yes. But number one, I think, is shame. Like, people don't want to be reprimanded for not having changed the oil and had the brakes looked at. And
really?
Yes. Not that we ever say anything to our customers.
I don't. We just have any.
We just giggle.
I don't have any such shame.
No, we noticed about anything. 888. We need to talk to you about that shirt. 888 Car Talk. In fact, your whole wardrobe. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Shave that beard off, too, while you're at it. Jeez, you look like a bum. I'm sorry, who's this?
Hi, this is Ethan from Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Crawfordsville. What are towns I've never heard of before? Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Crawfordsville is the hometown of Will Shorts, the Puzzle Master.
Get out.
No, seriously.
Does he come to visit from time to time?
I've never seen him. I've only been in there a year, but it says so on Wikipedia.
Well, shame on him if he doesn't come back at least once a year. I mean, we visit our hometown every day.
We never move.
Anyway, what's going on, Ethan?
So, I got into my car a couple days ago, and all was normal. I turned on the air conditioning, and a distinct smell of urine started to waft through the car.
Really?
So, yeah, no, I don't think I did it. I'm pretty sure. I went through the list of, you know, the usual suspects, ex-girlfriends and whatever. I don't think any of them did it.
I just don't see any ex-girlfriend squatting on your cowl, quite honestly. But you never know.
What is your car, by the way?
It's a 2000 Toyota Camry.
Huh.
Is it possible that a squirrel or a cat or something sort of got up into the innards of my car and relieved himself on the intake valve for the air conditioning?
No, it's more likely that mice have gotten into your ventilation system, and mice have been known to store things, but maybe store some other stuff there as well.
Really?
All the bodily functions that mice do might be taking place.
In my ventilation system.
But anything...
How long have you had this smell?
It's been a couple days.
A couple of days.
Slowly dissipating.
Well, you know, it may smell like urine, but it may be some other decomposing product. It may be pine needles or something other than that, that just when it breaks down, smells like urine.
Oh.
Right? I mean, I don't see any foxes. You see any fox prints across the hood of the car?
I didn't see any. I didn't exactly look.
Yeah, I don't see any creatures going out of their way. Except, so my guess is either it's mice... Or it's some kind of vegetation that has fallen in there, pollen.
It's quite possible. I mean, the car is often covered with leaves.
Oh, there you go.
I work at a small college with, like, beautiful trees all over the place. And
Are you a college professor, Ethan?
I am.
You are. And I just me just... Oh, didn't grading season just end?
Oh, yeah. We're on summer vacation.
Yeah,
summer
and vacation. Did anyone flunk?
A couple.
No, any of these flunkies? Are they flunky? You're the flunker,
oh.
Right? They're their flunkies. Any of these flunkies guys?
They're all guys, actually.
Oh, then that's it, man.
Really?
Oh yeah. I bet if you get the forensic team in there, you're gonna see some footprints from some high quality sneakers.
Really?
Yeah, but the solution is you can buy a product called Frigifresh.
Uh huh.
And you can probably get this at an auto supply house.
Okay.
And if you can't get that one, there are other things that do the same thing. And basically, they eliminate odors in your heating and ventilation system. And the way the thing works is you turn the air conditioner on with the blower, and you spray this stuff into the cowl. That is that grilled area right in front of your windshield wipers.
Right, okay.
Where they urinated.
Right.
Where those guys that you flunk urinated.
Where the student that flunked urinated. Yeah.
Right, exactly. That's exactly the spot.
And this stuff is going to go through the whole car, and it's going to get rid of all the smell.
Really?
Yeah, whatever it is, whether it's mice or, you know, guys or flunkies.
I guess I just also could not flunk people from now on.
You could do that, too. And I bet you next semester, if you're a kinder, gentler college professor, you won't have any smells.
The smells will all go away.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, or the immediate aftermath of the grades coming out, you may want to borrow or rent the car.
Okay.
See you later, Ethan.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Good
guys.
Luck.
Hey, Ethan, what do you teach?
I teach political science.
Oh, I was my major for a year. I was a political scientist.
Everything was your major for a year.
You know, I got my money's worth.
Yeah, you sure did.
I mean, when you're there for 16, 17 semesters like I was, boy, you really learn a lot of stuff. Anyway.
Yes, you do. Okay, good, Ethan.
Good luck. 888 Car Duck.
How many semesters were you there, really? Eight is the basic.
No, I was there many more than that.
16?
No. Bob
no.
Pelin was there for 16. I think Bob may have the record.
He may have the record. 16 semesters.
I think so, yeah.
And it means of those 16 semesters, he had to have flunked
the majority of
eight.
The courses. Of course. I mean, how else could you stay there that long? I mean, eventually they'd say, we're giving you a degree, even if you didn't want it.
Get out!
Yeah. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jackie from Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Okay, so I have a 2006 Scion XB.
Yeah.
That's the box.
Yes, it says one of my favorite cars, except for the fact that it's ugly, but other than
that,
and
that's what's good about it. I think that's what's interesting about it is that it's so ugly that it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It's
so ugly, it's cute.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Sort of like my brother. He's so ugly, he's cute.
It is. You look like a porcupine. Go ahead, Jackie.
I have an interesting issue with my transmission. My car only has 59,000 miles on it, and my warranty's up 60,000 miles.
Oh, we got to work fast.
So basically, in the morning when I turn my car on, my transmission has an issue for the first few minutes that I drive it. And incidentally, it has an issue when my, I think it's called the coolant indicator light is on. Mm-hmm. It's that little blue light that looks like a thermometer.
Yeah, it's telling you that the engine is not warmed up yet.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So I'll be driving, and it will be, like, bucking, it'll be revving, it'll be, it's just, like, classic horrible transmission, but as soon as the light goes off, it's totally fine.
Oh, as soon as it reaches operating temperature, and how long
right.
might that be?
It depends. In the wintertime, it's up to 20, 30 minutes. In the summertime, it's like 5 minutes.
And immediately upon the extinguishing of the blue light, the symptoms disappear?
Yes. In fact, I'll be, like, struggling to get up to speed on the highway, and then the blue light will shut off, and my car will buck, and then it'll be fine.
Really? And have you taken this to the Scion dealer?
I've taken it to the Scion dealership. However, the closest Scion dealership to me is about 25 minutes away. So by the time I had gotten there, the car had been warmed up, so they couldn't figure out what was wrong with it.
Yeah.
And the guy told me that it's common for Scion's transmissions to have to warm up.
He's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, what if you lived in Minnesota? You wouldn't be able to drive it until, like, June.
Exactly.
No.
Well, have you thought of just leaving it overnight with the dealer and let him figure it out?
Yeah, I'm going to do that, I think, soon, because I have, like, less than 800 miles.
Oh, you have to do
warranty.
In fact, tow it there. Don't even drive it there, because you can
right.
be squandering 26 miles getting there.
Right.
You know, is that where you bought the car?
No, it's not, actually. I bought my car at I think it was a Range Rover dealership.
Oh, you bought it used?
Yeah, I bought it used.
Oh,
yep.
Somebody bought that thing and said, I'm not driving this thing.
Well, exactly. And it's funny, because I bought it in December, and they brought it to me all warmed up and perfect.
So I didn't
even notice that.
It may have had this problem, and that may be the reason that the previous owner traded it in.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're going to have to prevail upon them to fix it, whatever it takes. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's some fault with the computer.
Okay.
But they're
going
to have to dig down several levels.
Okay.
There may be something that they have to reprogram insofar as how the computer shifts when it's... It may not even be the transmission that's at fault. It may be that something is in the computer is getting this signal from the coolant temperature sensor that's making the thing behave peculiarly. It's changing the shift pattern, and it's changing the fuel-air mixture, and as such, it's causing the thing to behave like this. And as soon as it reaches that threshold temperature and the computer senses that temperature is achieved, that's when it turns off the light and it changes what's called the performance parameters. It changes the timing and a bunch of other things once the engine is warmed up. So it may be that the computer is at fault, or at the very least needs to be reprogrammed, if not replaced.
Okay.
But you're going to have to fight and make sure that you write everything down in your repair order. Because when your warranty runs out in 800 miles, you want to be able to go back to them when they finally figure out what's wrong with the other 9,000 Scions that are doing this and invoke the warranty.
Ah, okay.
But leave it overnight and ask them if you can drive one of their cars home.
Ah, that'd be great.
Either that or you trade it in. Warm that puppy up and trade it in. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, look, we need to take a short break. And when we come back, we will not, I repeat, not have a new puzzler.
No, I guess the puzzler is now officially on summer vacation?
Yes. The puzzler, as you I'm sure know, has worked very hard this year and is taking a bit of well-deserved time off.
Well-deserved? Come on. The puzzler works less than an hour a week. How lazy do you have to be to complain about working less than an hour? Oh, wait, never mind.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Glasshouse. So what's coming up after the break, anyway?
Well, when we come back, I'll have a little bit of a verse to share with you all.
Really, a little verse and a lot more car questions when we come back in just a minute. Please stay tuned.
How and why did you steal a 12-year-old Century? Two bald tires in the middle of the night. taught you the fine arts of lock picking and hot wiring. Why don't you stop by for coffee and tell me how you pulled it off sometime?
And even though mummies ask for some extra ear wrap whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a little bit of frustrated verse.
Yeah, this note comes from Sue Combs, who writes, I found this poem written 50-plus years ago by my dad, and I thought you'd get a kick out of it. Here it is. Sue's dad was Thomas Anthony Green of Philadelphia and New Orleans, and he wrote this poem called Tom Green's Auto. The Ford is my auto. I shall not want another. It maketh me to lie down beneath it. It soureth my soul. It leadeth me into the paths of ridicule for its name's sake. Yea, though I ride through the valley, I am towed up the hills. Thy rods and thy engine discomfort me. I anoint my tires with patches. My radiator runneth over. I repair blowouts in the presence of my enemies. Surely, if this thing followeth me all the days of my life, I shall dwell in the bug house forever.
Eat your heart out, Emily Dickinson.
You ain't kidding.
Pretty good. Hey, by the way, the Puzzler is on summer vacation.
Yeah.
But if you miss the Puzzler...
I miss it every chance I get.
I know that you do, but if other people genuinely miss the Puzzler, you know, whenever we don't have a new Puzzler on the show, we always post one from our archives on our website, cartalk.com. So you can always find the Puzzler there. In the meantime, if you have a car question, you can call us and puzzle us right now at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is AJ. I'm calling in from Kansas. I have a 92 Honda Accord, and I have a bit of a problem that mechanics haven't been able to figure out over the last 3 years.
Oh, please, this is exactly the kind of call that we love.
Yeah.
Okay.
No one's been able to figure it out, and we're going to take a shot. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my car, in summer, when it's really hot outside, it doesn't start immediately after I turn it off. And if I try to do so, it would crank, but it won't start. And when I try to do that, then it won't start for the next 4 or 5 hours. I have to just let it sit. Last summer, I did realize, though, that if I kick the relay or jiggle the relay that is hanging off by the brake pedal, it does start.
Yeah, that's the fuel pump relay.
Okay.
And you need a new one.
But one of the mechanics already looked at it and replaced it, and it didn't fix the problem.
Really?
And I've looked at...
Okay, well, thanks for calling, AJ.
what year Honda is this, by the way?
92.
A 92 Accord?
Yes.
And of course, it would have to be.
And even the Honda dealer looked at it, and two other non-dealers looked at it, and they weren't able to figure out what's wrong with it. And
so what the heck do you expect from us?
If you have a more better idea than they do.
when it doesn't start.
Yes.
How reliably is the kick to the relay?
It is quite reliable, but I didn't realize that for the first 2 years. I just realized it last summer.
Oh, so you were just kicking out of frustration. You were like having a temper tantrum, and you kicked the relay and it started up.
No, I don't think I was having a temper tantrum. I accidentally kicked it and it started. And I was like, huh. That might work.
See, I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know what he may have put an aftermarket relay in there.
Uh-huh.
But we have seen hundreds and hundreds of Accords of this vintage and even newer that have had exactly this condition, and it was the fuel pump relay that always fixed it. So I would recommend that you know where the relay is because you've been kicking the daylights out of it. You probably broke the thing. But I would go to the Honda dealer and buy one and plug it in.
Let him put one in for
you. Well, you can put it in yourself. You know where it is. It just unplugs.
Yeah.
And I'd be surprised if that didn't fix it. I mean,
what
you can do the next time it doesn't start is you can try to determine if it's not getting fuel. You can crack a fuel line open under the hood.
Okay.
If you do that,
gasoline should
Come out in great quantity when you crank the engine.
I see.
If it doesn't, then it absolutely, the fuel pump isn't working. Okay. Now, it may be that the fuel pump is failing.
Okay, I don't mean to sound like I'm not taking your advice, but when one of these things happened and it wasn't starting, I took it to the Honda dealer, and they had, like, I was yelling at them for not fixing it, so they had all the people in the shop looking at it. They were testing the compression, they were testing the fuel, they were testing everything. They couldn't figure out. After 5 hours, they called me and said that the car started back again, and we still don't know what the heck is wrong.
So they had it not starting, too?
They had it not starting. They had all the contraptions that you could think of connected to the car trying to figure out why is it not starting.
Did they have a new car brochure? Did they leave one of those on the dashboard for you?
They didn't? No. I think Honda should do that.
I think they should. I think for lost causes like yours, they should leave the brochure right on the dashboard, give you the hint that it's time to move on. We could certainly be wrong about this, but I would, before you give up on it, I would try a new relay.
Okay.
I mean, were you watching them while they were doing these tests? Maybe they had it in a corner and they weren't really testing it.
No, I was right there because I was yelling and furious.
Yeah.
And when they said when it didn't start, was it getting both spark and fuel?
Yeah, they were testing the sparks, and people changed in that car from a distributor to spark plugs to relays, thinking that's the problem.
Oh, I have another possibility.
Why?
Well, the other possibility is that you're getting fuel to the injectors, but the injectors aren't firing off. So maybe a problem with the computer. That the computer is not sending the signal to fire off the injectors.
Did I tell you that it cranks just fine when I...
Oh, yeah. No, I assumed it's cranking fine. I assumed that you're getting spark because they determined that it was. And now you're telling me that they probably determined that it's getting fuel, but maybe they didn't bother to check to see if the injectors are actually getting a signal to open up. And if they're not, and the fuel doesn't get injected in, it's not going to start.
It's not going to start.
Anyway, go back and ask them for the brochure.
See? Good luck, AJ.
All right, thanks a lot. You guys been...
we've been a lot of help, sure, I know. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nikki from Tioga, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Nikki from Tioga, Pennsylvania. How are you?
I'm doing well today. I have a 97 Jeep Wrangler, and when it's spring and fall, I get all kinds of heat through the heating system. Just roast me right out. But in the winter, when it's really cold, I freeze to death.
Well, it's clear you're living in the wrong part of the country.
Well, yeah, I know. More sunny days, I could do more topless jeeping, right?
This is a family show, Nikki.
When you say you get plenty of heat, you mean even when the heater is turned off?
No, if I turn it all the way off, then it's not too hot. But if it's on at all, it's very, very warm. A lot of heat coming out.
Yeah. No, I mean, when it's 60 degrees and you turn the heater on.
Well, sure.
Even a heater that doesn't work very well is going to seem more than adequate.
Right.
But the real test is when it's 2 degrees.
Right. And then I wear a blanket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But can you feel air blowing at you?
Yes.
It's very cold air.
Yeah, it's cold air, yeah.
Gotcha.
Which makes it even worse. You need two blankets when it's cold
air.
Combat the wind chill factor. So have you taken it any place to have anyone look at it? Because it sounds like it's pretty simple.
Oh, really? Because I've had people say, well, it's just a Jeep. You have to live with it. And I just wanted to hear a better answer.
No, it could be something as simple as a thermostat.
Just a thermostat.
It could be. You know, you have a gauge on the dashboard that reads the temperature of the engine?
Sure.
Is it really closer to cold than it is to the middle, especially in the winter?
Yeah, probably. I don't drive it that much in the winter because it is so cold.
Too cold.
Freeze your tuchus.
No, but you got to remember where this dial is.
Okay.
So it should be all the time. Near the middle.
Should be always near the middle. Yeah, and it probably is a little toward the cool side.
On the colder days, it will tend to read a little bit colder, naturally.
Right.
And on real hot days, like 90 and above, it'll read above that. But you're shooting for around the middle. But if it's, you know, down around a quarter.
No, it's not that far from the middle.
All right. Well, it still could be the thermostat, and it's easy enough for them to check. They can just check what's called the engine operating temperature.
Okay.
And if it's not north of 190 degrees, then there's something wrong.
Okay.
And you're not going to get adequate heat. But if it is hot enough, then it's possible that the heater core is plugged up.
Okay.
And the heater
core... So the heat's not getting into the car.
Right.
Okay.
When you turn the dials to redirect the cold air that you're getting in the winter,
right.
Does it go from the windshield down to your feet and then come out? You can get it to do all those things?
Most of the heat is at the center, like the midpoint of your body.
And you can't get it to move?
Well, yeah, it does move, yeah.
Okay, and how about when you turn the other dial, which controls the temperature? Even in the winter, can you notice if you turn it all the way to the cold setting, is it colder than it is when you turn it to hot? Do you notice any difference between setting it on cold and setting it on hot?
Yeah, I do. And it's not, you know, because it's so cold, it's not much of a difference. But yeah, we always keep it over toward the hot side in the winter.
Well, I'm guessing that the heater core is plugged up or the thermostat's faulty.
I'm going with him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with him too.
Hey,
yeah.
Anything so I can get more life out of this Jeep. It's black with pink fender flares, so, you know, I got to be able to drive this thing.
Yeah, of course.
It is pretty cool. See you, Nikki.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Matthew from Evanston, Wyoming.
Hey, Matthew, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I've been to Wyoming once or twice.
Have you?
I have. I'm trying to think of all the names of the towns I've been to, but
you don't remember.
Well, I know I was at Yellowstone Park and the Grand Tetons and Jenny Lake.
Oh, Jenny Lake, yeah.
Jenny Lake, yeah. My 7-year-old son took something at Jenny Lake.
But
he was really excited about it at the time. Anyway, what's going on, man?
Well, I have two problems actually.
Yeah.
Me and my friends are in this little battle royale between vehicles. We're kind of pranking each other's vehicles back and forth.
Yeah.
Last year, we had done things like I had put flour in in my buddy's air conditioning, and it ended up being a son of a teacher. And when the teacher got the car back from his kid, every time he turns the blower on, flour will come out. So anyways, it started up again since it's summer here in Wyoming. I pranked my friend's car, and they pranked me back. Oh. But what they did was they got like Crisco and petroleum jelly and put all over the windows. And somehow they shoved it down into the gap between my window and the door. I have a 91 Lincoln Town Car. And every time I roll down the windows,
the window all gets full of...
gets re-smeared.
Smeared.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
That's good.
So my question is, how can I get that out? And two, what can I do back to them that would be epic?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, okay. let's do the easy thing first.
I'm working either on putting something on the glass of the window or taking off the door panel and doing it right.
Yeah, I think the door panel is probably the only way to do it.
I think so, too.
Yeah, because they've got so much on there, and they probably, you know, there's a little strip of rubber that kind of wipes the window as it goes up and down. The problem is that's holding all the Crisco. They use Crisco, huh?
Yeah, it's Crisco and, like, petroleum jelly mix.
It is pretty... I mean, it isn't injurious, but it is kind of dastardly. So
the long
story short, you may have to take the door panels apart.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you'll be looking at... when the window's down, you'll be looking at the window. And what you probably want to do is clean off as much of it as you can, you know, with a rag, and then probably use a solvent to get the rest of it off. Is it on the inside of the window primarily?
It's on both sides.
Oh, you're screwed. So is it all your windows or just the driver's window?
No, it's all the windows.
Oh.
They put about an inch of Crisco on the windows.
So how many guys were involved in perpetrating this prank on you?
On the prank alone, there's probably only one guy because it's a group of girls that I'm pranking right now.
Oh, really? Oh. So you pranked them and they recruited this guy.
Yeah.
So what nasty thing did you do to them that elicited this prank? And be honest with us now, because we need to know, Matt.
We just got a bunch of window chalk and window chalked all their windows like solid and put a bunch of petroleum jelly on their handles. When they went to grab them, they'd slip out so they couldn't open their car. And then we got a million little tea packets.
Mm-hmm.
Threw it all over the inside of their car. They left their window down just a crack, and we got them in there. And it rained that night, so there was a bunch of tea, and their car smelled like tea.
This is escalated to an unhealthy.
You deserved everything you got.
Yeah, I mean, pranks are like, you know, whoopee cushions and the like. And while this, you've obviously taken it to the next level. So whatever you decide to do in so far as retribution is concerned, is only going to escalate this to the point where you're going to end up setting each other's hair on fire.
I'm getting them back.
You're getting them back. She said, well, I don't think you need any help from us. I don't. We don't want to get involved in this because the next thing you know, we might get pranked.
But if you want to fix this, you're going to have to take the doors apart.
All right.
Yeah, so that ought to keep you out of trouble for at least a month. And it'll give these young ladies an opportunity to relocate and get the hell away from you. So take all those door panels off and get yourself some, I don't know quite honestly what I'd use for a solvent, but probably methyl alcohol, methanol.
All right.
It's one of the constituents in window washer. And if you use that you'll dilute it maybe 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 with water. It's a very good solvent. It'll clean all that stuff off, and it won't harm the glass or the rubber components in there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you'll probably black out from the fumes, but other than that, you'll be fine.
Good luck, Matthew.
All right, thank you.
And don't hurt anybody. See you later. But by the way, I mean, we love pranks maybe better than anybody.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's easy for pranks to get out of hand, and I see the potential here for this getting out of hand.
I think they've gone a little too far.
I mean, pranks are like, you do it, everyone gets a good laugh, both the receiver and mostly the deliverer.
Yeah.
And then it's over. I mean, like you give someone a wedgie.
Yeah.
And ha ha ha, and it's over. But this might be going too far because you get permanent damage pretty soon.
Yeah.
They're going to start slashing his tires. And it could get serious. So back off, guys. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Mirror Masher Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Toulouse, roast goose, clam juice, braised moose, chartreuse, couscous, twigger spruce, baba ganoush, voulez-vous, no excuse, lunch caboose, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our telephone solicitor from the Paris office is Henri Lenting. Our sunscreen provisioner is Les Brown. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shape-shifting meter maids in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 927, dig through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a reference area for you burgeoning do-it-yourself.
Yes, you can read about different repairs, their degree of difficulty, and the likelihood of burning off your eyebrows if you try.
It's always high. Trust me.
Yeah, oh yeah, my brother manages to singe his eyebrows wiping the windshield.
That's Car Talk's do-it-yourself DIY area. Check it out all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Sylvia Poggioli tapes over the network logo on her microphone whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.